Father, we thank you for you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your grace, your mercy, your love. Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. Lord, as we gear up and really look forward to Christmas, Lord, and what that means, Lord, may we, your people, Lord, believers in you, may we not allow it to be just a time of exchanging presents and singing some Christmas songs and that. But Lord, we would carry you with us wherever we go. And Lord, that we would keep in mind the depth of love that it took for you to send your Son for us. And Lord, as we open your word now, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would do a work in them, whatever kind of work is needed, encouragement, correction, whatever, Lord. But Lord, do a work here today by the power of your Spirit. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of today's teaching is Serious House Cleaning. When you think about cleaning houses, you know, some people clean their houses every week, whether they need it or not. You know, some people will just clean when they notice it's getting kind of dirty. Gee, there's like an inch of dust on the ceiling fans. Maybe I better clean the house, you know. Some people, they'll clean their house only when company's coming over. You know anybody like that? I know some of you guys, Steve's hands go up. Yeah, I'm that guy. Well, that's okay if you do that, so long as you have company coming over kind of regularly, you know? But if the last time you had company was 1986, yeah, you probably got a problem there with the house cleaning thing. But, you know, even the cleanest cleanies, they will have a big cleaning at least once or twice a year. You know that? Now, some of you are already thinking, boy, I got to clean the house before company comes over. You know, we're going to have company over for Christmas and all that kind of stuff. My wife and I, you know, my wife is, we're both cleanies, but she's worse than me most of the time. But, you know, we don't clean when people come over. We clean after people leave, kind of thing. It's like, oh, what a mess, kind of thing. But the cleaning that we're going to see just outdoes all of the cleaning that you could think of, that you might be thinking that you're going to have to do now or after Christmas or whatever. The cleaning that we're going to see happening here in Leviticus, that they're going to be prescribed to the Israelites, it way outdoes every other kind of cleaning. And when it comes to having a clean house, what's more important than God's house being clean? Now, I'm not talking about the building here at Calvary Chapel. This is just a building where we meet with each other and we meet with the Lord. You know, Jesus promised that two or more of us are gathered together in his name, that he's here in our midst. And we believe that he is here right now, this moment, ready to speak to us, to wrap his arms around us and to open his word to us. But I'm not talking about the building here. You know, even when you start thinking about the building, where my mind goes, all the time when I start thinking about this is the house of God, and if you grew up in the church, you might have heard adults say that. Hey, shh, quiet, you're in the house of God, you know, kind of thing. Well, Solomon got it right. Remember when he was going to dedicate the temple? He just built a huge temple, and Solomon said in 1 Kings 8:27, but will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? See, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the New Testament dwelling place of God being clean. What he says to us in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? See, every born-again believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. He comes into our hearts the moment that we believe. We become temples of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see today how Israel was to deal with an unclean house and how that might relate to us today, dealing with the house that God the Holy Spirit lives in now. So let's go ahead and start here in Leviticus 14, and let's start with verses 33 through 36. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, saying, when you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put the leprous plague in a house in the land of your possession. And he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it may seem to me that there is some plague in the house. It seems to me that there is some plague in this house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes into it to examine the plague, that all that is in the house may not be made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in to examine the house. Now, notice verse 34 there. That might have kind of jarred some of you. And I put the leprous plague in the house. God would do that? Well, actually, yeah. There are those times that God does stuff to discipline, to correct, to wake us up. In Proverbs 3:33, we're told the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. See, this would be a wake-up call to get things right. Kind of God saying, you need to clean your house. You need to re-examine your life and your home and how you're living in that. And if this was a curse from the Lord, it really would be a time to examine your life, to see if everything was right and in order in the way that God would have them to be lived. See, this person, that this leprous plague or whatever, and really, we know it, we call it today mold. As we saw last week, there were a number of different skin diseases that were referred to as leprosy that really weren't Hansen's disease. And just as right now, as we'll see, especially in a little bit, there's different colors of mold and different types. And, you know, Gil, our youth pastor, he has to deal with all of that stuff. He gets rid of mold in homes and all. But there's a lot of different types. And this person, this has this mold, this leprous plague of their home breaking out. That person may never have ever talked to a priest before. He may have never inquired of God specifically for himself from the priest, but he has to now. He may have been going through the motions as an Israelite. He might have been okay being a nominal believer. And folks, you know, there are many believers today like that, that have a nominal Christian existence. You know, they come to church most Sundays. They utter a prayer every now and then. They may do certain things here and there. They may give to the Lord, that kind of stuff here and there. But there's no real passion for the Lord or for the things of the Lord, for the kingdom of God or for the Word of God. There's no passion there. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I've got my fire insurance. But, you know, come on, let's not get radical here, you know. Let's not get weird here kind of thing. I don't have to do anything like that. And you know what? I'm glad it's not up to me to judge whether someone is saved or not. Because sometimes when you're dealing with a nominal believer, sometimes it's really hard to tell if they're saved or unsaved. But I'm glad it's not my job. That's God's job. But you know what? It's also our own job as individuals ourselves to judge ourselves. Do you know that? We're to examine ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? We are to check ourselves out. Am I saved? And I think where he says, as to whether you are in the faith, absolutely, the first understanding of that is, am I saved? Do I really have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? Am I really trusting Him and what He did on the cross for me? And is that relationship real? Is it alive? But also, I think we can take that as to whether you are in the faith as to what we do and don't do. What am I doing? Does that reside within the faith? Those things that I do, those things that I don't do, do those things reside within the faith? Are they part of the faith? Are there those things that God says, hey, you should be doing this or you should not be doing that? Am I living within the faith? I may be saved, but you know yourselves. It's real easy for us as believers, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, it's real easy for us to kind of drift away a little bit or to get involved in certain practices and certain sins and that don't reside within the faith. And God would have us to examine ourselves and say, am I right? Am I okay? And just as mold could contaminate something in the house and make it unclean, that's why he said, get it all out of there. If our hearts aren't right, even good things that are in our lives can become unclean. They can become something that's not good. And there are those things that, because we put them in the place in our lives where they should not be, we put them in the way of God, those things can be unclean. Like stuff, okay? Things. God, He tells us that He gives us all things to enjoy. The things that we have, God blesses us with. And in the United States, us folks here, we got a lot of stuff. And especially, you know, if you've been to other parts of the world where they don't have a lot of stuff. But there's nothing wrong with stuff, per se. But when you allow stuff to get in the way between you and the Lord, then that's a problem. You know, those people that accumulate so much stuff, it's like, well, we don't have time to go to church anymore. We got to go play with our stuff. We got stuff. We got to go enjoy our stuff. And even people, friends, family, relationships, pursuing relationships, those things can become more important than the Lord. Jesus Himself, okay, I'm not making this up. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 10:37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And notice that God didn't want them to have to lose any of their stuff, any of their things. He told them, take them out, set them aside while they're dealing with this contamination. I have known so many musicians especially, but other people that have had to really set stuff aside. You know, I've known a lot of musicians that they when they got saved, they realized that their musical ambitions were an idol. That they were, man, that was the most important thing to them. And so they had to set down their music for a while. Sometimes a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. Until everything was right between them and the Lord. Until everything was straight. All the relationships were where they needed to be. And then God let them know, all right, you can pick that thing up now. And now play it for me. Now serve me with it. I've seen so many people do that. And we need to examine ourselves to see, is there anything that God would say, you need to clean house there. You need to get this out of the way. You need to clean this up in your life. Now, verses 37 through 42, he goes on and says, speaking of the priest, he says that he shall examine the plague. And indeed, if the plague is on the walls of the house with ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, which appear to be deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the seventh day and look. And indeed, if the plague has spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which is the plague, and they shall cast them into an unclean place outside the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust that they scrape off, they shall pour out in an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and plaster the house. Now that's a deep cleaning. That is some work, man. And these different types of mold were like leprosy to a house. And still today, you know, Gil, he deals with that kind of stuff, huh? When it gets to be this time of year and pipes freeze and burst and all that kind of stuff, he gets kind of busy. And if he's not here on a Sunday, I know where he's at. He's dealing with house leprosy. He's dealing with problems like this, or trying to deal with those problems before they turn into mold kind of thing. But we know even now, that when you're dealing with that kind of stuff and mold starts to take over, that you do have to, just like they did. They took the rocks out, they took the plaster off. Sometimes you got to cut away the drywall. Sometimes you even have to remove the wood, but a lot of times the drywall, the carpet, the pad, and all that kind of stuff, it's all got to get out of there so it doesn't contaminate the rest of the house. It doesn't keep growing. And they had to do that. They had to remove that which defiled the house to make it physically clean and to keep it from becoming defiled again. Once they cleaned it all up, they had to make sure all of the stuff was out. And as a new believer, just like so many other believers, there were things that I had to get rid of in my life. There were things that I felt God was saying, you need to clean house there. I got rid of all my secular music. I stopped buying booze and dope. You know, I was like, that doesn't belong in my house. It doesn't belong in my life anymore. I need to clean that out. And you know what? It is so good to be clean, to be new. And the very verse that got me saved really speaks to that. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're told, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. I wanted to live that new, clean life. I didn't want anything to defile me again. And folks, we need to examine ourselves again and see, is there anything that maybe we've cleaned up before? Maybe we've got rid of before when we first were saved, when we first came to Christ, that we've allowed to kind of come back in and you're seeing that it's having a negative effect on your life, that it's getting in the way between you and the Lord and the things that He wants to do in your life, or maybe the things He wants to do through you. We have to check ourselves out again. We have to make sure that we're not becoming defiled again by the things that we allow to be in our lives. Now, verses 43 through 47, he says, now if the plague comes back and breaks out in the house, after he has taken away the stones, after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look. And indeed, if the plague has spread in the house, it is an active leprosy in the house. It is unclean, and he shall break down the house, its stones, its timber, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall carry them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut up shall be unclean until evening, and he who lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and he who eats in the house shall wash his clothes. Now, that was radical. Tear the house down. If it comes back, just rip it down, man. Get rid of it. That was radical, but I think God would ask us today, how radical are you willing to be to get rid of anything that might be in the way between you and the Lord? How radical are you willing to be in order to please the Lord? This is the kind of radicalism that God really wants. Right now, the world is really worried about radical Islam, and for good reason. But you know, the devil, you know what he's really worried about? He's worried about radical Christianity. He's worried about radical Christians. Is the devil worried about you? Is he worried about the kind of impact that you're making in your world? Is the devil worried about the way you follow Christ? Get radical. Get rid of anything in the way between you and the Lord. Commit to obeying the Lord, no matter what. See, that's how the early church turned the world upside down. They went out, you know, they didn't kill a bunch of people. They weren't beheading people. They weren't blowing people up. But instead of killing people, they died to themselves. They died to themselves and they lived for the Lord. They surrendered everything to Jesus. They were all about the Lord, and they were consumed by the Lord and the love that He had for them and the love that they had in return for Him, and they were consumed by wanting to please Him and serve Him. That kind of radical living, that kind of radical Christianity, that's where we need to be. It's really not radical. We think of the people in the New Testament as being radical, man. You know, I mean, look at what they did. Look at what they suffered. Whoa, that's radical. No, that's just reasonable. Like Romans 12:1 says, you know, that's just a reasonable service. When you think about what He's done for us, that's just reasonable that we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's just reasonable. Now, after taking care of the physical defilement, if the mold didn't come back, they then needed kind of a spiritual cleaning on the house and on their lives and all that. And verses 48 through 53, he talks about that. He says, but if the priest comes in and examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take, to cleanse the house, two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Then he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water, and he shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and the running water and the living bird, with the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet. Then he shall let the living bird loose outside the city in the open field and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. Now, that's how they were to make atonement for a defiled house that was now clean. I'm so glad we don't have to do that kind of stuff. Jesus made atonement for us. He made atonement for this house. He atoned. He paid for the price for our sins. When he died on the cross, he was paying to remove our sins. He was paying to atone for them, to pay for those sins, to pay that debt that we couldn't pay. He also, in doing that, brought us to that place where just by faith we can receive that salvation, and he can come in and make us completely clean and able to fellowship with him, able to have a relationship, a real relationship with the Lord. He makes us clean and puts his righteousness upon us when we put our faith in him. And see, the high priest, he would, you know, actually he was just one of the regular priests that would come in and examine the house, but Jesus, he's our high priest, the Bible says. He's the one who examines our homes. And folks, he does. He examines us. And he wants to speak to our hearts, maybe even today, for us to examine ourselves. Because if you think about that, literally, if Jesus was there examining your house last night, what did he find? What would he find? What would he find if he comes, he hangs out the rest of this week at your house? What would he find? What would he find in your life and going on? Is it a home that glorifies God? Is your life a life that is lived to please him? Or is it something that is really consumed by self, self-interest and that kind of thing? I want this, but I want to do that. But I need to, it's all about me. What would God find? Would he find things that you know he shouldn't find? Things that you've allowed in that defile and that need to be cleansed? You know, what goes on in your home? Is he pleased with it? We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, the celebration of the incarnation of God. God coming to earth, becoming man. And that's an awesome thing. That's something that we as believers, man, should just jump on and share that with our family. If it means having to go out and buy a bunch of presents, okay. That's kind of the price of admission to go and preach the gospel to every creature that you're gonna be with there. But the reason why God came to us and became man was to express his love by dying on the cross to cleanse us from our sins so that he could have that relationship with us, so that we would be enabled to simply by faith put our trust in him and have our sins removed. You know, Jesus also came to give us new life. In John 10:10, the last part of it, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The new life, folks, that Christ offers involves cleansing the house to make us his dwelling. We receive that cleansing by faith, like I said. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 talks about that. "For by grace," that's undeserved favor, "for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." See, instantly, like the thief on the cross, when Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Instantly, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're clean. Our houses are clean. And he sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. But then, folks, it's our turn. It's our turn to repent, to turn away from the things that get in the way of our fellowship with him, and to turn our hearts towards him. You know, the very next verse in Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Not bad works, not bad deeds, but for good works, "which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." See, we're to stop walking in the wrong direction. We're to stop walking away from Christ and start walking with him. Start walking with him and do those things that he did, walk in love and holiness and all of that. And when Christ comes into a home, it's a different place. like it's been rebuilt with new materials. Now, these homes, he's not talking about wood and stone and all that. But he builds our lives, these houses, with new material, with material like the Word of God, the Holy Spirit residing within us, infilling us, guiding us, and blessing us. God wants us to receive the greatest Christmas gift that we could ever receive. That's new life in Jesus Christ if you have never received that. He wants that. And if you have been living in such a way that you know, you've allowed things in your life to get in the way, God wants to give you a gift. That's a renewed life in Him, a renewed sense of His presence and fellowship with Him, which would be by getting rid of those things, by repenting and turning from those things. And you know what? Not only is a new life in Christ an awesome thing for the one who receives that new life, but it's also a blessing for those around you. What a great Christmas gift that is, huh? Let's stand up and pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that through it, Lord, you speak to us. Through it, Lord, you let us know what is pleasing to you and the things that aren't pleasing. Father, you let us know your love and your grace and your mercy, but you also let us know that we need to turn from those things that would put distance between us and you. Father, I pray this morning that you have spoken to folks today. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that has had things in the way between you and them, that you've spoken to them. And I pray also, Lord, that if there's any here that have never received that gift of eternal life, Lord, that they would do that now. They would die to self. They would end their pride and just surrender their lives to you and receive the gift of eternal life that you have for them through Jesus Christ. And right now, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus Christ, if you realize that He died for your sins and you want to stop living for yourself and you want to receive that gift of eternal life by simply putting your faith in what Jesus did on the cross, then just raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Is anybody here at all? I know most of you. Most of you I know are saved. And if there's anybody here that you have allowed anything to come into your life and to get in the way between you and the Lord, and you want God to cleanse you from that, and you want to start fresh and new, then just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Okay, I see your hand over to the center. Anybody else? I don't want to drag this out, but I want to give you an opportunity. If God's been speaking to you this morning, then raise your hand and we'll pray. See your hand towards the front here. Anybody else? Father, I lift up those who have raised their hands and pray, Father, that you, Lord, would do the cleansing. As they express their faith in you, as they trust you, Lord, that you would not only cleanse them, Lord, but you would confirm that cleansing to them, that you would speak to their hearts now, and that they would turn from anything that has been in the way. Father, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would go from here and over the next week or two and on a regular basis that we would examine these houses, who we would examine our lives and always make sure that things are right between you and us. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.